reading tonight is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. And it's on page 1182 in the Bibles in the pews. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you.
Good evening, church. How are you doing this evening? You well? Good. My name is James Barnett. I'm the student minister here. Why don't I pray before we have a look at this passage? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have revealed your grace to us. Thank you that you sent Jesus so that we could know you. Please help us see how you have done this and how much you love us. Amen. This is a photo of Stephanie Rice. She's an Olympic swimmer. She has won 3 gold medals. She has a reason to train. That reason? To win gold medals. At the 2008 Beijing Olympics, she won 3, and she's currently training for the Olympics next year in London. Now, how does she do so well? What is she doing to win all these medals? Well, she trains a lot. She's got the right coach, and she's got her goal in mind. 6 days a week before 5 a.m., she gets up, does a 5K run, a 6K swim. Then she'll do an hour of strength and conditioning with a coach. Then in the afternoon, she'll do some core work and another 6K swim, spending about 4 hours a day in the water. Stephanie Rice is clearly training with a purpose. But imagine the Olympics weren't coming up next year. Do you think that Stephanie Rice would be doing any of this? Well, she might do a couple of laps in the pool, you know, just to keep fit. Her coach wouldn't be encouraging her to go harder and go faster because, well, she's got no reason. She wouldn't be training that hard because she has no purpose. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking through the book Titus, and we've seen that we are called to train and to train hard. Older men are to be temperate. Older women are to be reverent and not slanderous. The young women are to be pure and busy at home. The young men are to be self-controlled, and the slaves are to be subject to their masters and not talk back. Now, this is a pretty difficult list of things that we need to be training in. If we actually do this, we're going to look different. We're going to look different to our friends at school, our co-workers, our friends at uni, our family. People are going to pick up that your speech isn't like theirs, that you're not coarse joking like you used to. Maybe you're not swearing as much. People are going to notice that you're not drinking as much alcohol as they do. They're going to notice that you're not gossiping behind their back, other people's backs. But just like Stephanie Rice, there is a reason for our training. Because God has shown grace to us. And this is why we're to be training. So why do we train? Have a look with me. We're in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We train because for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now the first word there, that's the important one. We're called to do all these things for or because of what's already happened. Because God has had grace on us. We can only be called to train hard because of what God has already done. He has revealed the grace that brings salvation. Now, God has always shown grace to us. He makes the sun rise and set. He brings rain and makes the plants grow. He has created us and given us life so we can work to support ourselves and our families. But with the appearing of Jesus, we see something new. We see God's grace that is able to save us. Because Jesus has won a victory over death. This is the reason why we are called to train. Not because we must train hard, like we could train hard and get our salvation. No, that's impossible. We're training hard because Jesus is already victorious. Now, imagine with me for a minute that you're playing netball. Your team is losing. Actually, I'm sorry to say, you guys suck. You're not great. The other team's not that great, but the score is currently 30-0. It's not looking good for you guys. Now, I don't know much about netball, but I know that it's looking pretty grim at this point. But then all of a sudden, something happens. A new player subs on. You don't know who he is. You don't know why he's playing for your team. But he comes on, and all of a sudden scores 1,000 points. Now the score is 30 to 1,000. Your team has not contributed anything to this. But the game is won. There is no way that other team could get that many points. But do you think you should just stop playing, sit down on the netball court? They're concrete, so they're usually a bit cold. Do you think you should go, oh, let's just relax? No, you actually still need to play the game until the final whistle blows. God sent Jesus, his son, who lived a perfect life here on earth. He died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He arose from the grave and offers us eternal life in heaven. And he's ruling there now. He entered into humanity and beat death. And he offers to share this victory with us. All we have to do is stand on his side. Now, if you're anything like me, you want to be on the winning side, especially when the margin is so great. You want to win all the arguments. You want to have an iPhone instead of an Android. You want your favorite Australian Idol to win. But we all back the wrong team sometimes. We support Manly. You support Queensland, even when you live in New South Wales. You support Twilight over Harry Potter. You pick the wrong meal and your friend gets something different and you get food envy. We all get things wrong. I think cowboy shirts are going to come back in fashion. But we also back ourselves over Jesus. And we think our way is best. We reject his will in our lives, but instead do whatever we think. But who wants to be on the losing side, especially when the outcome has already been decided? Because if you're not standing with Jesus on his side, then you're in opposition to him. And the losers, well, they don't just lose the game. They actually don't get to spend eternity with Jesus, the giver of all good things. But even though we have chosen to back ourselves over God, God is good. And he doesn't leave us as the losers. Ephesians 2 shows us that when we were far from God, when we were stuck in sin, unable to do anything for ourselves, when we were losers opposing Jesus, God showed love to us and revealed his saving grace. Because Jesus has won the victory over death. And he invites us to be on his side. But the game is not over. The final whistle has not been blown. We are still here playing this game. But this final whistle will be blown when Jesus returns. And so while we're still here, we're not called to be lazy and just sit down and relax. No, something's going to happen while we're here. Have a look at verse 14 of Titus chapter 2 with me. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Jesus has won the victory and he's training us to be like him, being made pure. It starts here on earth, but is finished in heaven. This grace, this salvation, takes the focus off us and places it onto what Jesus has already done. Now, Jesus has done this for all of us, not just for one group of people. It doesn't matter how old you are, what gender or race. Jesus' victory is there for everyone. The young people on this side, the older people on this side, and even the slaves and the masters in the middle. You don't have to be the fittest or the fastest, have the best catching hands or the thickest neck, because there's nothing that you can do to guarantee your victory except to trust in Jesus and stand on his side. And God does not just save the individual. No, he saves the individual and brings them into community. Verse 14 says that Jesus is purifying for himself a people. We are made and purified together as Christians. That is why coming to church is so important. Now, not only does the grace of God save us, but it's also the one that does the training. God is our instructor. Have a look again at verse 11 with me. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. This means that not only is God the one who has saved us and has victory over death, but he's also the one that trains us. God did not just send Jesus to die on the cross and then to go home and to leave us alone. No, he actually is doing something for us now. John 14 says that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that Jesus has said to you. The Holy Spirit is sent to all believers and dwells inside us now. This means that God himself is our instructor. Well, why is this important? Why is it important that God's our instructor, I hear you asking? Well, it's because God knows what's best for us. He created this world, and he knows how we can enjoy it to its fullest. And it's really worthwhile to listen to him. Now, let me tell you something else about me. I do kung fu. I know you might be surprised at this. Why does this white guy do kung fu? I would have thought it would have been Eric, the Asian guy. I thought he would have been the kung fu master. Don't worry, though. Eric is deadly for very different reasons. So I've been doing kung fu for about 5 years. I got my black belt last year. I really enjoy it. And we do all kinds of fun stuff. You know, we learn our traditional forms. We learn how to defend against knives and baseball bats. We learn how to use weapons like swords and, you know, nunchucks and all those cool things. But one of the most challenging is sparring. This is where we get the headgear on and the gloves and the feet gear and the very important groin gear. And we go at it and we learn what it's like to fight almost for real. Now, one particular night a couple of years ago, we were learning something about fighting. The instructor was drilling it into us, trying to make us learn it. Now, I'll give you that secret that has been passed on from generations. It's come from China here to Sydney, here to Castle Hill, to you. This secret, are you ready? Don't get punched in the head. Yeah, complicated, isn't it? Our instructor didn't want us to get punched in the head, but instead to block and use our arms. He didn't tell us just because he felt like yelling something at us. He didn't want us to do the opposite. No, he was doing it for our benefit because he wants us to learn this very important lesson, to do it out of habit and to train other people in it. But obviously, I wasn't that good at listening that fateful evening, because something happened. I broke that age-old rule and didn't protect my head. And I got punched in the head. Well, to be specific, I got punched in the nose. There we go. As you can see there, the nose should be straight, but it goes like that. Should be like that. Goes, yeah. So I got punched in the nose. Me not listening to the instructor had a consequence. I got hurt. My wife says that my face isn't as pretty as it was. Although, I'm not sure about that. I think it actually gives it a bit of character. And we had to go and spend a couple of fun hours at Hornsby Hospital. God is our instructor. He gives us a way of life that is actually good for us. Our God wants us to train, not so that we can assure our salvation or just because he wants to teach us something. No, because we're being made perfect like Christ. Jesus teaches us to be like him and to be different to the rest of the people in the world. And we can only be taught to say no to ungodliness because of the grace of God. And he is our instructor. And he motivates us to keep training hard. Because the things that you are looking for in life are met in Jesus. The grace of God teaches to take the focus off of ourselves and put it onto what Jesus has already done. But what is it that the grace of God is teaching us? Let's have a look at the couple of groups shown in chapter 2. Let's pick out a couple of specific things mentioned. In verse 2, let's have a look at the older men first. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Let's just pick one of those. To be temperate. Well, if your anger is easily roused, do you always have a reason to be yelling at someone? If you do, well, the grace of God teaches you to be temperate. It teaches that God did not hold on to his anger against us and inflict punishment like we deserve. No, but it teaches that we are loved by God. And that we don't need to get angry when others wrong us. Have a look at verse 3. Let's have a look at the older women. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. The older women, this is relevant for all of us, shows we're taught not to be slanderous. And how does the God teach us this? Well, it teaches that we don't need to tear other people down to make us seem special. You don't need to mock people on Facebook or Twitter behind their backs. Because you're saved by God. You're loved by God. And you have the highest status in him as his child. And the young women, in verse 4 and 5, they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. Well, the young women are taught the grace that submission in a relationship is right. And it's actually not degrading. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself submitted. He submitted to the Father. And the young men and the slaves in verse 6 to 8. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech. The grace of God teaches me that I don't need to make crude jokes or inappropriate comments. Because God loves me, and he's already chosen me to be part of his family. And the grace of God teaches all of us, no matter the age, that we need to be self-controlled. Just like how Jesus showed perfect self-control in that it did not give in to the fleshly desires, but he made the ultimate selfless decision to die for us. God's grace is our instructor. It teaches us to move from being self-centered to self-controlled. We are training hard now while we wait for Jesus to return. This is not in vain, as verse 13 says. Have a look with me. We do this while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are training now while we wait to see Jesus, who, when he returns, will remove all the consequences of sin. He will take our guilt and our pain. There will be no more suffering or sickness, no more death, no more sin, and not even the temptation to sin will remain. When Jesus returns, all our problems with ungodliness will be gone. This is the blessed hope we have. These things that we are being taught are not easy. I'm not sure which are relevant to you tonight. But what I do know is that you are loved by God, the creator of all heaven and earth. And he loves us so much that he not only gives us a reason to work hard because of the victory that he has won, but he is also our instructor and our motivator, who will, at the right time, blow that final whistle and come to take us home. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for revealing your saving grace to us and for being our teacher. Help us to continue to want to be like Jesus while we wait for his return. Amen.